Welcome to MSP 1337. I'm your host, Chris Johnson, a show dedicated to cybersecurity challenges, solutions, a journey together, not alone. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of MSP 1337. I'm joined this week by Eric Hansen. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chris. Good to be here.
Since it's your first time on.
It's my first time this month.
It is, and it's first time this quarter.
First time, maybe even this half.
I was going to say this half of the year. It has been an interesting journey, to say the least, with the show. We are now at, I think we just went over 14,000 playbacks and climbing. And now I have to track audiences on multiple platforms. That's fun.
That's good. I mean, I'm glad that 13,000 of those have been my bots listening.
Oh, I just thought it was the way you get your employees to focus on their work. You're like, I will play another episode.
That's right. Your punishment will be.
That's right. I see how you configured that Exchange server. You can go sit in the corner and listen to the last 153 episodes. Yeah. Awesome.
Exactly.
When I have grandkids one day, I know that I will be able to put them to sleep just fine. All kidding aside.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, thanks. All kidding aside, the topic of this week's episode is ideals versus reality. And you called me out asking if I was calling you a cynic. And the reality is, no, it's the cynicism, I think, of our space. And I think not that there's doom and gloom attached to this, but looking at the landscape, we are seeing less and less net new companies, especially right. In the SMB space where most solution providers focus. And the other thing that we're seeing that I think is somewhat troubling is the micro SMB space. I don't mean troubling for them per se, but troubling for the space that we're in. It's a tough niche to cater to when you recognize that their budget outside of their lifestyle is probably a fraction of a percentage, if it's even recognized as a percentage. Like, what do you mean they can't get it at Best Buy on Cyber Monday?
Right. I mean, I've only taken two of those calls today. Should I buy this?
Right.
Well, I don't know. Should you?
So for those of you that don't know, this is one of those few occasions where we record not on Tuesday, but release it on a Tuesday. And it is, in fact, today, Cyber Monday. I saw one that actually had me so frustrated, I almost started sending stuff back before I got it in the mail. So ordered a pair of shoes and realized that I ordered the wrong size. So like, no big deal. I can send that pair back. In ordering the second pair, I signed up for an account to get the second 10% off. So now I'm at like 20% plus the 10% at checkout. So whatever that translates to, it's not 30%.
It's practically free.
It's practically free. And then today, hey, we see that you recently purchased something from us. Today is Cyber Monday and it is 40% off today if you'd like to buy any additional items. And I'm like, what I would like to do is get the difference of what I've already ordered. But
that's not usually how it works.
No, not usually how it works. So for today's episode and the ideals versus reality, and you had mentioned this before we started, was that in some cases it's easy for net new clients to talk to them about the things that they need to do. And obviously the financial part of that kind of doesn't really have a measuring stick to go with it. So they don't have a preconceived notion in a lot of cases of, especially when they're net new clients. I don't mean the shuffle of MSP3 of the last, you know, two to three years.
Yeah, MSP to MSP.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they're shopping or mad.
Yeah, is this Red Rover, right? Like, nope, I'm going to clothesline that one. I do not want that client, right? So I think this is really interesting because we've had recent conversations in the channel around the micro SMB space. I know that CompTIA is having their year-end planning. That's part of the conversation of how do we build out engagement, collateral, that kind of thing to help MSPs that are catering to some of that, but not in the context of like, we're trying to now like create silos for CompTIA members. Be like, hey, if you're going after the micro SMB space, this is for you. But more of the conversation at the micro SMB level is really the same conversation that you're going to have at any scaled client, but potentially with different reactions to the same questions. What are you seeing? I mean, you kind of said it well with what you just said about, like, should I buy it? Like, that already tells me a lot about that segment, but that's not necessarily the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I think what I was getting at was with the, in that micro SMB space, that's kind of the only green field left for MSPs.
Or move upstream, right?
Or move, right. I mean, there certainly you try and move upstream, but as you're moving upstream, let's say you say, you know what, I'm not going to take any clients that are less than 50 users. Well, how many new out of the gate 50 user businesses are there?
There's less than there were yesterday.
Right. There's less and less of those. And we're kind of seeing that in our industry as we see MSPs gobbled up into conglomerates by,
financial investment or any number of like, hey, I was an MSP yesterday. Yeah, I'm going to buy 40 of them. And now we're a huge MSP.
Right. PE firms and that sort of thing. You know, I think, well, I have my opinions on what's going to happen long term with these PE firm roll-ups that are occurring. But
I mean, opinions aside, I think you can only acquire for so long before, in order to make money, you have to sell something.
Right. And the whole idea is to sell the whole thing. So,
or carve out the pieces that are the most lucrative. It's kind of like cars, right? You know, if you see a totaled Lamborghini, that doesn't mean you don't buy it for $40,000, but you're not rebuilding that car.
Yeah, maybe you are, maybe you aren't. I mean,
but it's amazing there are what some you can pieces learn on in YouTube there
today.
Yeah, but there's pieces of value in those things when you start to parse out the parts, right? So like, maybe that went sideways as a bad analogy, but I think
it was perfectly fine for me.
Yeah, I know you're a car guy, right? I've suddenly gotten into weirdly watching like the guys that go out and bid at the, you know, Mopar auctions and get the car that's like, I want to bid on this one just because I know it had to have been a celebrity or a rapper that had this, because who turns a Dodge to, you know, TRX and puts bulletproof windows in? He's like, what kind of modifications did they have to do to the doors just to fit the glass in there? And I was like, wow, those are like really big questions that I hadn't considered. And I'm still impressed that you were bidding on that truck.
Yep. You saw the value somewhere. So anyway,
the micro segmentation of our market is starting to happen. Or I shouldn't say segmentation. We're seeing that the necessity to pursue micro SMB is here. Some of them are very, quite honestly, they could be pearls because they take seriously what they need to do. And while they are not going to write you, you know, $5,000 a month reoccurring revenue checks, probably in most cases, they add up. And if they're not very noisy, 5 or 10 of those, can't imagine that being a terrible thing to have.
Right. And, you know, you get 10, $2,000 a month clients. You know, you have to figure out where that pain threshold is. Can I adequately service them? But if they're not noisy, they take your whole stack as designed.
Yeah.
So that it's easy for you to maintain. Yeah, I mean, that's not necessarily bad business, other than there's a lot of them. And yes, you generate a larger number of invoices, but I think you can make that work financially.
Yeah, I was just going to say, a lot of that stuff is, quite honestly, we could say somewhat automated, if not largely automated. But isn't that what's happening to MSPs? Like, we outsource things like Help Desk, we outsource things like Knock, we outsource things. They're not looking at you going, well, you're not a big enough MSP for us to take on the projects and Help Desk you want to send our way. I mean, is this not reverse psyche happening right here with like an MSP that's taking on a smaller client that's just driving more? It's going to drive more noise, and right? If they open tickets.
Yeah, there's going to be noise. But, you know, the reality is if you take on one of these micro businesses that has typically not had IT, or, you know, had Best Buy or or the trunk slammer IT, they're going to be noisy up front. You know, they're going to be noisy. If you don't know they're going to be noisy, you're a moron.
Well, but, and I don't know that there's you know, to your point earlier about, you know, the number of 50 person companies, I think one of the challenges that we have is educating verticals that were not traditionally in this category. So I think of like plumbing, HVAC, you know, the heating and cooling types. I mean, we saw the bad things that happened, but I think there's a lot of companies in that space that don't recognize themselves as a target and what impact they would potentially have, not just on their business, but on other businesses, because they suddenly have been taken offline. It's like, nothing's important until I separate you from the data, right? Like, I have nothing that anybody else could want. Well, what about the people that work for you not getting paid? Like, is that, how does that work? Like, are those bad things? Like, because I think to your point, whether they're a micro SMB or they're 10 people or 50 people, I think there's a large quantity of businesses collectively that haven't figured out how important some of these things are until crisis happens. I had one recently, actually. I'll just say plumbing company, because anybody that listens to this that might be in my region might figure it out. They got the crap scared out of them.
Stuff scared out of them.
So like, and the one thing they did that I wish they wouldn't have done, and it might've been how I said it, not what I wanted to say, was I wanted them to unplug it from the internet. They heard unplug it. So they unplugged the power, which then killed any chance I had of getting a better picture. This gets into one of those, this is a good example because this happens to end users all the time. We know that advertising on a web page, when you hit search, is potentially not remotely H&R Block or some other site that you might be going to. They click on it and it's malvertising, not so much ransomware, malware, but it puts that pop-up window that puts the fear of whatever fill in the blank that scares you. Whatever, like I can't sleep at night.
I had my 93-year-old uncle click on one of those last week.
Yeah. And
scary. He let him onto the system.
Okay, he got further than mine did. Oh boy.
Let him on there for an hour. Outside of poking around. I mean, he finally went, wait, this doesn't really seem right, before they actually did any damage. Sure. It's amazing how much time those guys will put into stuff. But
And what was interesting for this one is it's turned into for an MSP. They called me, this buddy I hang out with, and he's actually working on my broken drain pipe right now because I hit it with my head and it shattered and I didn't have the tools to fix. Anyways, they're buying all new computers for their office. They're asking what are the appropriate things to do. And what's interesting is from the time got to get new computers, this can't happen again, to now has been about 45 days. Now the pain is less. And so they're like, well, I don't know about ongoing. I don't know about that we need all of those things. Like, do you have any idea what almost happened? Nope, sorry, I didn't let it run. You know, like, yeah. I think we're at that point.
Do you know how close you got to the edge? Had 1 foot already off the cliff.
Like, you jumped into a swimming pool that you didn't know was not full of water. It had stuff in it, but it was not water, right? Like, yeah. And you now have that virus eating through your brain, right? Like,
there's a wood it's called a pond.
Yeah. Swimming pool, pond in Iowa, they're the same thing. I mean, but so here's my question. And this could literally sum up, I think, this entire thing. We are not educating the SMB space. I don't care if they're micro SMB, and that's just harder to get in front of, but as a whole, on what the real damage looks like. So, like, if I were to do a tabletop exercise with some real, like, not heads up, like, this is a tabletop exercise, like, have your staff go, hey, we're going to do an exercise in the near future. Not telling you when it's going to happen, no differently than with a fire alarm, but we're going to do this exercise and everybody's going to be involved. I don't care if you're in HR or if you are needing to, you know, rub out the shoulders of whoever your client is at that moment. It's time to have, you didn't have that client today. If we started to do that, I believe there is genuine opportunity for real understanding to happen, because the whole, like, well, it'll never happen to me. Fine, maybe it doesn't. But the three chiropractors you share an office with, or the block down, if it happens to them, you're impacted too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, someone's going to be going to have a brain fart in your organization at some point. I can't tell you who it's going to be. I can't tell you when it's going to happen.
But it is all of us.
Hell, I've clicked on stuff.
We all have. We screwed this up a long time ago. Thanks, Microsoft, for giving us the underline function and telling us that's a link that goes somewhere. We're like, oh, well, then I've been programmed for the last 20 plus years to click on that link. Mm-hmm. Anybody that says, well, you can't have the banner because then I can't see the email when I'm at a stoplight, so that I can, you know, make a decision in that split second of while I'm sitting there at the light to go, oh yeah, should I click? Should I not click? It does say from a third party that I don't recognize and they're not in my address book, but it does say today only I win, like a lot of nothing, but I win. And it could be as little as like a $10 Starbucks gift card or less, but I don't have a Starbucks gift card. Shoot, for me, yeah. I don't even have a Starbucks that's within a 10-mile radius of where I live. Like, I am in trouble. Like, if I have Starbucks, I have to go drive way out of my way to go to Starbucks. So like, I still click on the link.
Yeah, I think there's like 10 of them within a mile and a half of where I'm sitting.
I know. I used to commute through that. And I think maybe one of them has closed since I left 10 years ago. Or there's more since I left.
Yeah, they've opened more. They've opened more for sure. But yeah, no, educating those micro SMBs, how are you going to do
it?
Huge. There's opportunity, but what scales, and this is, I think, one of the places where MSPs have difficulty wrapping their head around, okay, I need to service these smaller businesses because, you know, the 10s and 20s and 50s and,
right,
you know, 100, 200s, there's only so many of those to go, you know, going around.
And unless you're starting a co-op.
Yeah, and the MSPs that cater to that, for the most part, are pretty good.
Yeah.
Today, you know, are they, from my perspective, are they perfect? Maybe not, but I guarantee what I do isn't perfect in their eyes.
Right.
At the end of the day, we're still getting to the same place, and you know, we're not seeing the sizes of breaches that we were in the SMB / taken care of by an MSP space.
Sure. We've seen a huge drop there.
There's been a huge drop there.
Insurance is even recognizing that.
Right. Where there hasn't been a huge drop is in those organizations that are of the right size, where they have an internal IT staff.
Sure.
We have a customer that we do co-managed for. Yeah. They have one or two internal IT people. And I know they are ripe for the picking. The right guy sends them the right thing and it's over. And it will be a very expensive lesson for them. But they don't want to have the security conversation.
So there's another education area too, I think, because SecOps and IT ops in those larger entities where co-managed IT is happening, they don't want to talk to the third party MSP that's been engaged, a lot of them, right? Oh, look, that they don't want to engage or they're afraid of it. And then the other piece is, in a lot of cases, from an education standpoint, they don't know how IT ops and SecOps are supposed to interact with each other. And I don't care if it's the same person doing both roles. We are programmed to make their job happen. Like, don't put, you know, obstacles in the way of the accounting firm, right? Don't put obstacles in the way of the lawyer who needs to bill for, you know, now he just bought another Lamborghini or whatever car it is, right? but that is a huge misconception to what it when you go to the security side of this, the SecOps side, that is not the role or the responsibility. I don't care if you ever see a client. My job is to make sure that whether you see a client or not, you're not having your data stolen from you. That's really at the end of the day. And obviously that's not, if you're a, you know, MSSP or an MSP with that mindset, you're obviously not going to have very many clients that are relying on you for really anything, because they need to still do their jobs. that's the balancing act that we battle and getting the education across the client. Like, hey, not every time is it about the convenience for you to bill more or to bill faster. It's about ensuring that when you bill, you still can.
Yeah. Yeah. When it's time to bill, you can still send the bill. For sure.
Right.
So,
right.
So trying to bring us back to that smaller customer base,
right?
You know,
how the reality of our future.
They're the reality of our future. Yeah. And you know, some of them grow up to be decent sized businesses, you know,
we hope so. Right.
Yeah. I mean, the place that you and I met, you know, when
not so big.
When we first started working for them, not so big. I think they maybe had 10 employees, 12 employees.
It might have been 7.
Something like that. I don't remember. I know it was a small, tiny.
They weren't
office.
At 20. They weren't 20 when I got hired.
Yeah.
They're right around 20 when I got hired.
Yeah.
What are they today?
Internal,
100 plus?
No. They're about 70 right now, I think. 70, 75.
That's that whole dipping thing that happened with COVID, because they were up 75 plus at one point.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it depends where we are in the year, you know.
True. And without going into too many details, it gives away who it is. The footprint right. and who they cater to has grown dramatically in the last 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they've got a great business there.
Absolutely.
They've got an absolutely great business and good for
them.
I have
no idea who you're talking about. So
I don't know.
So we have a few minutes left. We have a few minutes left. I think this might be the first time in a long time that the conversation that we are having right now, you brought up, and unbeknownst to you, is a conversation I've had twice in the last 10 days with a large group of MSPs asking questions about, you know, I can't get my micro SMB clients to say yes to this. I can't. And then the argument is, how do I lower the bar? And it's like, no, this isn't about lowering the bar. It's about getting them to understand that the bar is not changing and your business can choose to continue on the direction, the trajectory that it's on, and cross your fingers, which, well, gambling is a lot like crossing your fingers. So more power to you. But I think it's more along the lines of, like, if not all of it today, what can you do today?
Right.
What are you willing to do today? And in many cases, it shouldn't cost anything to get started.
Yeah, or you shouldn't, the cost shouldn't be a gigantic barrier to entry.
Right.
And you as an MSP have to decide in your business, you know, what level of risk am I going to take to say that, you know, you're automatically on the hook just yeah. because something happened isn't necessarily accurate.
Right.
You know.
And to say that you're not on the hook is dangerous too.
Is also not necessarily
right. I love it when someone right. says, oh, well, my terms of service. I'm like, I don't care about your terms of service. I will tell you that in most states, when we're dealing with a cyber incident, the question is going to get asked, was due diligence performed or negligence? And if they believe they can prove negligence or a lack of due diligence, yep. you're in trouble no matter how good that was written.
Right. And at the end of the day, anybody can be sued for anything at any time.
Been there. You know, it sucks.
Whether they're
not the
right
suing part, getting sued. Yeah.
The getting sued part sucks. Absolutely.
Honestly, I think there's a lot of naivety out there with regards to, and we'll sue you. And then they find out how complicated it is and how costly it is to be in the driver's seat of a lawsuit.
Right. Right. You know, the only people who get rich are the lawyers. And there's a reason you never see an attorney's name on the docket as a plaintiff right. or a defendant.
Right, right. Yeah.
They understand that.
I mean, unless it's on reality TV.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But
then you get the little banners across the bottom.
Exactly. So I think the bringing this back.
Full circle.
Hopefully.
Maybe.
You know, the place I think that, you know, we as service providers need to wrap the thing we need to wrap our heads around is other than I'm tired.
Yeah.
The things we need to wrap our heads around are, all right, what is good enough? And do I onboard someone with good enough that isn't necessarily your perfect stack? I think if you're the first one to engage with somebody,
yeah,
and they recognize that they have an actual need, it's a lot easier to get them to do what you want them to do than someone who's, we walked away from a deal probably 2 months ago when they needed really to be CMMC one.
Sure.
And, you know, in just talking about the business, I could get to, okay, yeah, they definitely need CMMC one, if not two.
Sure.
And they probably really needed two, right?
Yeah.
But for sure one. And they're like, no, we only want to buy, you know, just regular MSP services. We want you to, I can't do that.
Right.
Because of the size of the organization.
So along those lines, I think that's a perfect opportunity to kind of plug the whole idea that MSPs need to band together on stuff like this. So it's that balancing act of, okay, why didn't Eric Inland Productivity choose to say no? Because I don't want to waste your time. I might already be a no as well. But again, their risk might be different than yours, right? Like they're like, oh yeah, we can sell you the 365 seats that you want and hand off the controls. And we're happy to do that because we make a lot of money on our 365 sales. Fine, whatever. But the reality is if MSPs as a whole don't do a better job of banding together, we continue to go through this vicious cycle of just bouncing clients from MSP to MSP until someday someone's going to get popped and it's going to hurt. And everybody in the industry is going to go, I saw that coming because, well, I was the first one to say goodbye and no.
Right.
But there were too many others that said yes. How many times?
Sure. Then there's going to be more, you know, the smaller the MSP gets, the more, I think the higher the probability that they're going to say yes to something that maybe doesn't align with, you know, the right risk profile. But again, I got off topic, you know, not talking about these real small guys. I think that you can get them to good enough and to understand, okay, here's good enough and we're going to have version two of this next year.
Yeah.
Because the
stepping stones of maturity.
Right.
Well, and that goes hand in hand with
drag them through their whole IT maturity.
Yeah.
Because, you know, maybe they started at Best Buy and zero controls.
I have two books on my desk on my shelf. One of them is the Scott Augenbaum, like the 15 cyber, like essentially comes down to cyber essentials or good cyber hygiene, just to not to trivialize the book, but he has like, I want to say it's like 14 or 15 things in there that are really valuable to talk about. And again, his book is being written to an end user, like to a personal, like, if you had only not done the following things, you wouldn't be in the situation you're in. And none of them involve how much money you might spend to get to cyber hygiene. It's recognizing that password 123, even though it might meet the criteria for the password complexity, is not a good password. And the other book is Anne Westerheim. She wrote the book. It's like 21... Why when it comes to mine, I don't have the book in front of me, but it's like 21 things that you should do from a cybersecurity standpoint. And there's nothing in either of these books that say, step one, write a check to the nearest MSP to make all these things happen for you. It's like, no, it's like, you know, breathe, take a deep breath. don't click yet. Like, what's not like the others? Like,
yeah.
When we talk about the micro SMB, they are in some respects just like talking to friends and family, right? They are one person. They are the decision maker. My favorite are those that are friends and family who are like, what do you think about this laptop? I'm like, well, this is the one I would go with. It's the same price, the one you're looking at. Here's why I wouldn't do it. And then they call you. Yeah, I bought this one. I'm having some problems. Can you help me? No.
Nope.
I have learned over the years to use the word no, friends and family included. If you want my advice and you don't want to take it, don't call me when it doesn't work. And if it does work, awesome. You made a good decision.
You'd make a terrible attorney because they count on getting to charge you to
fix it.
To fix it after they've given you the advice that you didn't take.
Sure. Yeah, that's fair. Well, yeah. That's also as extensive as I am in the world of John Grisham novels, I have no intentions of being an attorney. Well, with that, we are about out of time. Eric, any last thoughts on our ideals versus reality that kind of drifted into how that really plays out in the micro SMB space?
Yeah, I think for the MSPs, don't snub your noses at those micro SMBs, because they may be the only place you have growth opportunity, or one of the few places you have growth opportunity, because your other growth opportunity is displacing other players who become more and more complex. And as we see, PE firms grab these other firms up, they got a lot of resources. Depending on where you are in the market, you know, you may not be able to fight those resources.
And let's be clear, how many MSPs have more than 5 employees?
Well, the vast majority of them don't.
Right. So remember who you potentially are pointing, you know, looking down on.
You yourself are that micro SMB.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I would say this, though. Most of the micro SMB space, I'm excluding MSPs in this, to a large degree, are not looking to stay micro. They want to grow their business. Even if growing their business doesn't mean the micro in quantity of people changes, but the revenue and the number of clients they see definitely wants to grow.
Right.
All right. Well, Eric, as always, we went down a path I was not planning on, but is definitely needed, or we wouldn't have done it. So thank you for being on the show. And for those of you listening, sure, Stay safe on Cyber Monday and have a great week.